Okay, God bless you. Welcome. Today we're going to look at the topic of suppression of the truth. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. Not any exhortation to suppress the truth, but to look at how the Word of God, the truth, is suppressed. In Romans chapter 1, verse 15, we read, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So here he talks about that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And here, now notice in verse 18 what it says about what they did with the truth. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Here, if you look at the working translation of this verse, it reads as follows. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." You see, they suppress the truth of God's word. And I think if you look around to the systems and of society these days, the same truth is evident. The truth is suppressed everywhere you look. Do you know of a lot of places where the word of God is readily welcome to be spoken in public or any other meetings of that sort? Of course not. The truth is suppressed more and more. And there's a pattern in 1 Timothy that we should look at, actually 2 Timothy to be precise, which we've looked at before, but to remind ourselves of the church in its downfall and the reason some of the things that happen on the way down have to do with the truth of God's word. In 2 Timothy 1:15 we read, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." And when he writes that they're turned away from him, who was speaking God's word? Paul the Apostle. So when they turn away from him, they're turning away from the truth, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. In chapter 2, verse 18, we read, so let's start with verse 16. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." I mean, we looked at this verse last week when we were talking about our faith being overthrown. But here it is talking about who concern the truth have erred. They have erred. First we read in the first part where they say they turned away from the Apostle Paul, which is turning away from the truth. And here they err, they make mistakes. And here they were saying the resurrection has already passed, and that was causing other people to have trouble with their believing. Now look at chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Notice here again, this time they are resisting the truth. They turn away from the truth. They err concerning the truth. And here they resist the truth. And then the next step, in chapter 4, verse 4, we read, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I think if you look around, you'll notice that that is the case. People are going after any new thing they can hear, turning to fables, turning completely away from the truth. So the truth is central to staying the course with God. It's central to our walking with God. And I think you'll find the same is true in the Old Testament. Remember, you know, that wonderful verse we always like to talk about, Jeremiah 15:16, right? "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Wonderful verse. The thing that I always ask is, why were they lost? The words were lost. They were found in the rubble. Why were they lost? Again, the suppression of the truth. The adversary does whatever he can to suppress the truth and those who speak the truth. Also, remember Jehoiakim. What did Jehoiakim do? Right? That famous king. Didn't he take the word of God and cut it with a penknife and threw it in the fire? Same thing he'll do to your words and to you. Cut you with a penknife and throw you in the fire. That is the world's reaction to the word of God. Let's make no mistake about it. There is an orchestrated attack on the truth and therefore as well on you. for you represent the truth of God's word. Luke chapter 6, please. This is an interesting record. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus Christ was the living word, was he not? Jesus Christ was the living word. So when he spoke what God wanted him to speak. What he said, he did. He said because God wanted him to say it. So all the things we see in here in God's word related to Jesus Christ are true regarding the word of God. And here, look at Luke chapter 6, verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. Wonderful men, aren't they? But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Now, if that happened in our fellowship or some church where you were, or a synagogue or wherever, what would you say? You'd praise God. You'd be thankful this man's hand, which didn't work before, was now working properly. That would be the natural reaction, would it not? Well, that's not what happens here. It's hard to read the next verse, but let's read what it says. Verse 6, and they were filled with madness. Can you believe? They were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Oh man, he made this man's hand to work, which never worked before. How can we destroy this man? You see, orchestrated attack at suppressing the truth. And Jesus Christ represented the word of God, did he not? And here they were trying to destroy him. They were filled with madness at a person being healed. It's almost unbelievable that it says that here. John chapter 15. Wonderful truth in John chapter 15 that we should keep in mind. John 15. This is good to keep in mind when we're out and about speaking God's word to people. John 15, 18 reads, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now listen here, it's not talking about if the world is annoyed with you or feels a little bit down about it. It says hate. It's a strong word. It says the world hates you. He said, don't worry. It hated me before it hated you. And so if it hates you, you're probably walking in good standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. It hated him as well. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now that's comforting. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. It says that twice in the book of Psalms. They hated me without a cause. Was there any reason that they hated the Lord Jesus Christ? Did they hate him for healing people, for raising the dead, for casting out spirit? Why did they hate him? What was the reason? Well, there was no reason. It says here, because the word of God says, they hated me without a cause. There was no reason for the hatred. Look at John chapter 17, please. 17 verse 8 reads, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. He did what God asked him to do. He was the living word. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that did send me. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. You see, the suppression of the truth runs right throughout God's word. He gave them the words, and the word says, world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This world is not our home. We run at cross purposes to the world. The world is intent on suppressing and destroying the truth. We are not to love the world. We are not of this world. Look at Acts chapter 3, please. Any of you remember all the other records about the frenzy of the crowd when Jesus Christ was being crucified? You know, how they orchestrated all that whole crucifixion to destroy the living word. Pilate and all these things, the beatings and the, you know, Jesus Christ being brutally beaten beyond human recognition is what the world thinks about the truth. They are so against the truth that the one who represented the truth was beaten beyond human recognition. So don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed if the world hates you. When you speak God's word, you get the kind of reaction you really may not like most of the time. Acts chapter 2, there are constant attempts throughout the book of Acts to suppress the truth. Let's start in Acts 3, verse 11, please. As the lame man, we had this record last time, this is a wonderful healing. Peter and John healed the lame man who hadn't walked until the age for 40 years, and they healed him. And this lame man, verse 11, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Pretty comforting, isn't it? When we go to minister to people or bring healing to people, it's not by our own holiness or power. That's rather comforting. "The God of Abraham," verse 13, "and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One." Remember the one who represents God's word. "You denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life." That's what they thought about the truth. "Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now let's look at the fallout of some of this. Chapter 4, verse 1. "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Being grieved. They were grieved that these people were teaching about the resurrection. They laid hands on them and they put them unto hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. They put him in prison for speaking the truth. Do you think the world might have some sort of an attack against the truth? Do you think the world might be intent on suppressing the truth? Look at verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Wouldn't that be a wonderful statement on our lives? People say, "Hey, you know, I know you know Jesus Christ. I can tell by the way you speak, the things you say, your attitudes, that you know Jesus Christ." Wouldn't that be wonderful? Verse 14. "And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." Now, why would you want to say something against a man being healed? You see the course of God's word. The course in the world is to suppress the truth. They wanted to find something to say against it. Verse 15. "But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, and look, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." We surely would love to deny this, but we can't. The man is walking around, he's healed. We can't. No, it's sickening. Verse 17. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth in no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus." Don't you speak in his name. Don't you mention the name of Jesus Christ around here. Sound familiar? Some of the things you might hear today in the news and other places? Don't mention that name. I don't want to mention it. You might mention it when you're in a passing curse. No problem with that. But when you want to preach Jesus Christ, watch what happens. Verse 18, "They called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach the name of Jesus." Verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said, look, whether it's in the sight of God or not, you figure it out. You figure out what's right. But for we," verse 20, "cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So then when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was about 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing was shown. He hadn't walked for 40 years, and they wanted to shut them down. These people are going around healing people, speaking God's word, preaching the resurrection. They want to shut them down. People turn their ears away from the truth. They resist. They err concerning. They suppress it. And that is the way of the world. They get filled with madness when the word of God is spoken and deliverance comes as a result of God's word. So don't be surprised if they do the same to you. Chapter 5, verse 12, please. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick, and look at this, the sick into the streets, and laid on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Can you imagine this happening in Almont or some other place where you live? You know, people being healed in the streets, lots of deliverance. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Madness. Indignation. Hate. For what? Were they out there killing animals, destroying the country? What are they doing? They were healing, bringing deliverance, and here they're filled with indignation. And laid their hands on them, and the apostles, and put them in the common prison, threw them in jail. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, look, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told and said, look, the prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, look, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Because it leads to healing and deliverance and blessing, and people get saved and healed. We don't want you doing that. Why the suppression of the truth today amongst us and the world? They don't want people getting saved. They don't want people getting healed. They don't want deliverance. They would rather have prison. They would rather have servitude. They would rather have obedience to the rules and regulations of men, but not freedom in Christ. They don't want that. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us, which, by the way, they had said was okay when they were killing Jesus Christ. Anyhow, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him God hath exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit which God had given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Time and time again, kill, destroy, indignation, madness, slay, imprison. See, there's an orchestrated attack to suppress the truth. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do to touching these men. Then let's go down to verse 39. But if it be of God, the thing they're doing, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. Okay, that sounds good. And then they beat them. So they agreed with him, but then when they had called the apostles and beaten them, even though they agreed with what this guy had said, they still took the opportunity to beat them. Beaten them. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, let them go. And they went and were rejoiced, and thanking God, in verse 42, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Yeah, they took heed to those guys. In Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. By the way, it was Pentecost that started all this. all this wonderful teaching that we read about in the book of Acts. Acts 9, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the way being the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. That was the suppression. And this time, it's Paul, before he was the great apostle Paul, who was involved in suppressing the truth, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the believers and getting letters to take them and throw them into prison. Of course, there are no countries today where you get thrown into prison for speaking the word of God. You can speak it freely in every country of the world, right? That's there we go. In Acts 13, verse 6, and when they had gone through the aisle, this is now Paul when he's no longer the guy, Mr. Threatening and Slaughterer Breather, he has now turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul and Barnabas were in verse 6. When they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. A politician who wants to hear the word of God. Verse 8, but Elymais the sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So there's one man who wants to hear the word of God, and here's a plant right there, the adversary, who wants to stop it from being told. Verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes upon him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of who?
The devil.
Who do you think, thou enemy of all righteousness. Who is the enemy of all righteousness?
The devil.
It says in Romans chapter 1, in the word of God is the righteousness of God revealed. And the devil is called the enemy of all righteousness. He's the one who wants to suppress the truth. And here, in this case here, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the Lord, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the Lord, the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a dark mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Take that, smoke it. Verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews, this is in Antioch of Pisidia now, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. See, time and time and time again, you see it right throughout the book of Acts. Speaking and preaching Jesus Christ, people raising up. This is orchestrated. They raised up the women and men, and they actively persecuted them to get them the heck out of there. Why? Because they were speaking the truth of God's word. In Acts 14, let's keep reading. Verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium, this is a little bit further north and west, that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the words of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, okay, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Stone them. Throw them in jail. Filled with madness. Beat them. You know, it goes on and on and on. Look at Acts 17. Next chapter, a few chapters over. Again, the entire book of Acts is filled with this. But it's interesting, you know, these things just don't, it's not just haphazard. You can see it, and God had these records recorded for a reason. You think he had them recorded just to see that, you know, people get beaten? Well, it's to show us, but when you speak God's word, like, I don't think any of us can rightfully say that we've ever gotten the threats or the things that we've read about in the word so far to that level. Has anybody ever beaten us? Has anybody ever thrown us in jail? Has anybody ever threatened to kill us or whatever? Not yet, I should say. So, you know, and these guys here, when these happened, what was their response? They preached God's word. They were beaten, and immediately they went back and said, "Oh, this is great. You know, we were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." And immediately they went back and they said, "Don't say in his name." Peter says, "Look, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. You figure out what you're supposed to do." Is that our response to someone slamming the door in our face? Oh, slam the door in my face. That's terrible. What am I going to do now? I'm going to feel rejected for the rest of my natural life because someone slammed the door in my face. Good heavens. We weren't beaten. We weren't thrown in jail. We weren't whipped. They didn't threaten to have the entire town against us. And yet, sometimes that's what happens, right? In Acts 17, verse 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica," which we've been studying a little bit in fellowship, "where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort," doesn't sound like a nice bunch, "and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of cities, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And their brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea," just a little south of Thessalonica, "who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched, received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." This is orchestrated. It is deliberate. It is planned. This isn't like today where you just jump on a train and take an Uber or whatever, or take a flight from Thessalonica. How did you travel from Thessalonica all the way to Berea to make sure the truth is not made known? It's an orchestrated attack. It's an orchestrated attack at you who hold the truth. Sometimes we forget the value of our lives. You know, sometimes you can get a good sense of the value of your life based on how much the other side is willing to do to get you out of the fight, to destroy you. How valuable, how much of an attack were these guys on the kingdom of the adversary? So much so that he was having people follow them around, throw them in jail, beat them, get politicians, everybody involved. Just shut up. Don't speak in the name of Jesus. Stop it. Stop, stop, stop. And that's what he will do to you if you let him. If we let him. Have we allowed the pressure of the world to stop us from speaking his word? Have we done that? Has it ever happened? Well, we should take a look. This is what God's word tells us is going to happen when we speak the truth. We'd rather talk about everything else under the sun except the truth of God's word. Mention the name of Jesus Christ in the conversation. See how long that conversation lasts. Well, that's what they did. What else is your life all about anyway? Okay, verse 12, 13. So they came to, and then immediately verse 14. So they got there and stirred up the people. Verse 14, "Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there. and they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. So they got them out of there. We'll just summarize in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read in Timothy at the beginning of this sharing that all they in Asia have turned away from me, is what Paul wrote by revelation. So when they turned away from the man speaking the truth, they turn away from the truth. And any attacks on anybody who speaks the truth is an attack on the truth itself. So Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And all the stuff he writes here is all in the context of traveling to make God's word known. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes, 5 times whipped. You think he might have had a few marks on him? You know, people think they're heroes today when they do things. To liberate a whole country or to do other things. And they go in and they, you know, overthrow politicians and public governments, and they'd go in and save people from so-and-so. You want to be a hero? Read this. You think people have gone through this to make God's word known? What do you think God wants? What did Jesus Christ say at the end of his life? Jesus Christ said, I have given them thy word. That's what God wanted him to do. Everything else is secondary. Secondary to life. You could do all the good things in life you want to, but if you don't make God's word known, we've really missed it. Verse 3, 25, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, all for the sake of the truth, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, people who were say they were believers and they weren't, they were trying to get them. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, by the way, the care of all the churches. That's what Paul, by revelation, he wrote that he went through to make known the truth. Do you think there might be an attack on the truth of God's word? An attempt to suppress the truth today? For sure there is. We'll close in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Has it stopped us from speaking God's word? Are we afraid of the consequences? Are we afraid of what people might think, what our fellow workers might think, what family might think, what others might think? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, this is talking to Timothy, but applicable, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful men are men who, like Paul the Apostle, don't just shut their mouths when the first person says, no, you're an idiot. What the hell do you believe that nonsense for? They don't shut their mouths when they hear the first little problem coming from their own family or their work fellow workers or wherever, or the government, for that matter. Faithful men are faithful men day in, day out. Go to God's word, go to God's word, go to God's word, speak God's word, make God's word known day after day after day after day for their whole lives. That's what faithful men are. It's not just, oh, once every Sunday or once every Tuesday or maybe once a month I'll, you know, put in my little time. Faithful day after day after day after day. You just don't stop until the return of Jesus Christ. That's what faithfulness is. Verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. See, no matter what he said, he was bound at this time, but the word of God is never bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So, They might bind us, they might bind you, they might try to bind your mouth, but the Word of God is never bound. No matter what you say or what you do, the Word of God can't be bound by people, by governments, by policies, by anything. It can only be bound by you and I deciding that we're not going to speak it, that we're not going to make it known, that we're not going to make it the central purpose of our lives to make God's Word known, the truth that we've been given to steward for the rest of our lives. So, happy.